I will cling to the Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. As you can see on the board, we're going to be studying about the very opposite of that. And I might tell you to start with that I misnamed that lesson, so after I had developed it, I had to rename it because it fit a little bit better. That when you get a lesson, at least when I get one, as I study it through the week, it changes. And sometimes I'll give Kurt a copy, and then he'll come back and get another one of the outline. He'll say, "This is nothing like what you started out with." I said, "Yeah, but it's what I want right now." So that's what. I've been engaged several times in my teaching career in studying why people quit school. And I won't go into all that, but there are a number of reasons, because we were interested in knowing why people quit school so we could try to help that problem not to exist. I've also, in all my life, been engaged in the study of why people quit the church. But I found out when I started naming this that that's not a scriptural name. The word quit as we know it is not in the Bible. The word quit as the Bible languages know it is in the Bible some seven times. It's in the Bible in four times in the Old Testament and only once in the New. And that, of course, is in Ephesians, and where it says that quit you like men, be strong. But that's that word of the New Testament means to behave yourself or be manly. Our word quit means to stop. And, of course, that's what people do. Why should I want to preach on it? Because it's a problem. So I changed the title of it. I hope you'll understand it when I get through with it, to Proverbs 11 and verse 30, where the Bible, of course, teaches us that we cannot quit, because that means our soul will be lost. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. And so you cannot quit. Quitting always has some consequences, some good and some bad. If I could quit eating, I think I could do a little better, but I haven't been able to quite do that yet. But quitting has some consequences. If you realize that, you know that it's a subject that we might need to look at. So we're going to look at he that winneth souls is wise. Number one, how do people stop? You know, we looked at this. What stops a person from quitting school? Hebrews 10:25, some stop by stopping attending. But that's not the way all of them stop. But I might mention here that there are many ways that people stop attending that we ought to recognize. Some start missing occasionally. Some start missing certain services. Some start missing in spurts. They'll come 2 or 3 months and they'll miss 2 or 3 months. You know, that's exactly what I found out in school. And so that's some of the danger signs. And they stop. Some stop by stop worshiping after they get there. You know, sitting in a church house won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a hen house will make you a hen. And so some stop by stopping, for example, they stop listening. And if you stop listening to the Word of God, you're in deep trouble listening to preaching. For first, the preaching save them that believe. I'll put here 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they stop giving. If you stop giving, you stop laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Of course, if you can't give, God understands that. I need to continually say this about all these forms of worship. If you're not making it, you can't give. But if you stop, you're not laying up treasures in heaven. Some stop by stop taking the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week. Some stop by stopping visiting, James 1:27. Visit the fatherless and widows. There was a time when they visited, but they've quit that. Some stop but stop reading the Bible. There was a time when many read the Bible every day, and they've stopped. If you're on those ways to stop, it's just an eventual thing that you're going to stop. You just hadn't got that yet. Now, how do you avoid that? You know what you have set before you. In Acts 2 and verse 40, Peter very plainly said, save yourselves from this wicked and untoward generation. And I believe if Peter was standing before us this very morning in the flesh here, he would have trouble finding a better admonition to give to us today. Save yourselves. Why? If you don't save yourselves, nobody else will. We studied people, why they quit. I was a high school counselor one time. What could we do about it? And the main way we come up with is to hold the parents responsible. Now, I work pretty good with grade school kids, but parents cannot be held responsible for high school kids because they, half of them, they can do nothing with them. They haven't trained them to be obedient to them. And so that doesn't work too well. But the only way a person will ever be attending school is, like the song said, because he loves to attend school for some reason or another. It may not be learning. It may be the little girl sitting next to him. It may be recess. When someone asked me one time what I liked most about school, I said lunch, because I got things that I liked at lunch. But there are things that we need to understand about it. Now, Hebrews 7:12 is not right. It should be 5. That's my mistake. I put it on the outline wrong. When for the time you ought to be teachers. When we know we're going to have to teach somebody else something, it involves us in it, and we try to do better. Some of you ought to learn to drive better because you're teachers of driving. Now, I know you want to say, why don't you do better? I can't. I've passed the pinnacle. I've come way down here. I'm trying to get my wife to take over driving. But anyway, that Matthew 4:19, Jesus very plainly said, come ye after me, and I will cause you to attend occasionally. I misquoted that just slightly. Come ye after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. You can't follow Jesus without being a fisher of men in some way or another. Now, we all can't do it alike, but Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to be a fisher of men. That helps you not ever quit the Lord's church, because you're fishing for those you love the most. When you get my age, you'll believe that the most important thing you've ever done in life is to have children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and hopefully have an influence on them on going to heaven. And you'll also believe that the saddest thing you ever done in life was that you reared your children and were not able to get them to be faithful Christians. Now, you may not come to that, but I believe you've got a spiritual heart enough that you'll understand that. Not that you'll be held accountable for that in all ways. Sometimes, it's, of course, you have done what you can, but you know that you haven't done what really needed to be done. And so we come to the next thing, and that, of course, you need to know about what you're doing, because in winning souls, you've got to be an example. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Why was it important that Demas had forsaken Paul? I guess someone said because he was a tent maker and he ought to have learned a trade. Nobody would say that was very serious. Why should he forsake Paul? Because when Paul was around, he preached and taught the Bible. Demas is mentioned in Colossians 4:4 along with two other great Christians. He's mentioned again in Philippians 1:24 with three other great Christians. Now he's mentioned in Paul's prison, aged Paul, as he calls himself. He's mentioned as one that left him. If you get my age, you have seen a lot of people leave you, and some because they didn't want to be around you because you tried to be a faithful Christian. And that did not sit well with what they were trying to do with their life. I recognize that. And then in 3 John 9 and 10, we read a bit of Diotrephes. I've never known of a child named Diotrephes. I don't know whether you have or not, but I think you probably would not. He loveth the preeminence. You can't have the preeminence in the Lord's church, because the way to heaven is to be a servant of everybody. The way up is down in the Lord's kingdom. And so he was against it. John 3:31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Some stop because they don't want to continue in the world. But a lot of them stop because of Luke 15, 28. He was angry and would not go in. I've seen people go to ball games and be shoved and kicked and run over and charge money. And next week, if they can, they go back. I've seen people come to church, and I've heard of, I've talked to a few, say, I went there and nobody spoke to me. I'm not going back. I said, how many people spoke to you at the ball game? Something you got out of order here. And so there are people that quit because they're angry. And we get angry over the silliest things, over things that are not important. And if you get angry over what the Father says, you've got a real problem. The Bible says his Father came out and entreated him. And he was angry and would not go in. What did his Father say to him? I know a little bit what he said to him. He told him that this person that had come home was his brother. And he should love his brother. And that's the reason that they'd kill the fatted calf and made a great feast for him. But his feelings were hurt because he was not treated as well as his brother, so he thought. And so people get angry at different things, and they quit the Lord's church, and they quit the Lord. Acts 6:1. Some people get angry because they can't put up with murmuring. Now I'll tell you right now that murmuring will never stop in the Lord's church. When you're trying to do something with people, you've always got murmuring. If you stand up before a class at school and you say, we're not going out to recess today. You don't listen, you don't want to listen too closely. And then you stand up in a class at school and you say, lunch is going to be 30 minutes late. Well, sometimes that happens. Murmuring is a part of life. You put it in everywhere you are. If you've got a job where there's no murmuring, if you'll tell me where it is, I'll give you a $5 bill. I don't have it, Mark. If you got a job where there's no murmuring, and tell me the truth. Now, I'm telling you, you put up with everywhere else. You ought not to be certainly in the Lord's church. But don't get upset because somebody is murmuring and quit the Lord's church. Acts 15, 39 and 40. Some people get upset because there is sharp contention in the Lord's church. The Bible says the contention was so sharp between them. Between two, who? Two of the greatest members of the Lord's church. I'll let you find out for yourself. I'm not going to tell you. They were in contention. And it was so sharp, they decided to go in different directions. Brethren, if you're going to be contentious anywhere, you need to be contentious in the Lord's church for the truth. Somebody tries to teach you error. I don't mean to be mean, but the Bible says, contend earnestly for the faith, Jude verse 3. Contend means to be contentious. Now, I know you can give up everything for peace, but you can't give up the truth for peace or anything when it comes to truth. Stand for the truth. Stand for it firmly, boldly, and kindly. But stand for it boldly. And I never have been one could sit there and not. I went back to my home congregation when I was a young man and preached for 2 years, and the one of them got up and said the marriage and divorce will not be taught anymore in this building as long as I'm an elder. And I stood up and I said, Matthew 19 has to be taught anywhere and everywhere in law, wherever the Lord's church exists. And he was an elder. Another member of the Lord's church jumped up and said, we're going to have a vote. All of us that want to follow the elders, stand up. And all then he said, all we want to follow the elders. I just got up. What's been said here, stand up. I got up and walked out. Now it was contentious. Now all these brethren that I know of about this all come back to the Lord's church and stayed with nearly every one of them. But you had to have it, and there was contentious. In John the 6th chapter, the one reason people need to know If you have a right to quit the Lord's church anytime you want to. You can't quit school. There's a law against it. You'll be arrested for it. Now, I think we ought to pass a law. If you miss the Lord's services more than twice a month, you will be arrested. We'll take you to court and see if you've got a good enough reason to be absent. Now, that's what they'll do in the school business. If you're absent 20 times in a year, no matter what your excuse, according to law, you can be retained in any course of class, at least you could when I was there. One of the best laws ever passed. I used to call them in and say, son, you've been absent 19 days. Bring me a letter from your mother saying you know it. One more day and you're going to stay in the third grade. Best thing ever happened. I made perfect attendance the rest of the year out of a bunch of people because the law said you couldn't go on. Suppose we had a law in the Lord's church that if you missed 19 times unexcused absences, you're going to be, that's it, you're through. Well, I'm just saying that the things that are important that we don't think is important. Now, why is worship important? Some people quit. They quit singing. You know, you can see a girl quit singing. They quit reading the Bible. They quit praying. They quit giving. They're just quitting in degrees. There are five items of worship you do all to the best of your ability. You could come to the Lord's church gratefully and already quit. You never engaged in any of the acts of worship. One of the most amazing things that I see as a preacher is how people talk and act during the invitation song. And I say this kindly. I can't help but see it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you talk and do other things during the invitation song, you haven't got your mind right with God. He that winneth souls is wise. The invitation of the Lord is a way to win souls. And I can't understand why that happens. Now, I know sometimes it happens to all of us do things that's not, but John 6:66, you got a choice. From that time, many went back and walked no more with him. Jesus gave him a choice. He didn't send anybody after him. Why? Because he had told them, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Now, they didn't stay around to totally understand that. That meant to assimilate Christ's life in their own life. Now, the reason he that won the souls is wise, if you follow Jesus, you're going to be seeking souls. You're going to be seeking souls, somebody in some way, somehow. Because the Bible says, Luke 19:10, Jesus came to the world to be a great sportsman. Jesus came to the world to save money. No. Jesus came to the world to pay for his house. No, he never owned a house. Jesus came in the world to save sinners. If you follow Jesus in some way, in some way, I know that we all not pray. I'm just saying you can set the example for them, you can invite them, you can pray for them, you can teach them. If you haven't prayed for the lost of this congregation and people need to obey the gospel, please find out who needs to obey the gospel. Start praying for them because you need to. Then there's certain fruits of quitting. Now, I noticed there's terrible fruits of quitting school. One thing that I've noticed when I was in of course, that when you quit school, you need always got in some kind of trouble. I don't know if it's still true or not, but when I was principal, I noticed that in high school, especially when you quit, you just get in some kind of trouble. Why? Because sitting around and doing nothing and not being engaged in possible things means you're going to be engaged in unprofitable things. None of us live in a vacuum. And so that's fruits. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 says you're going to be worse. Worse. The Bible says there, if you continue and you forsake the commandment, then the latter end is worse with them than beginning. You're going to sin. James 4:17. To him that knoweth do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And if you're not in the soul winning business in some measure, John 15:2, you're going to be cut off from Jesus. Every branch, you got that? That's us. That beareth not fruit, he pruneth it and taketh it away. Sign, Jesus Christ. You're going to be disobedient. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You're going to be, Ephesians 1:3, miss every spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. That's in the Lord's church. There is not a single blessing that Jesus promised you outside the Lord's church. Someone said, I can pray. You can pray all you want to. And I hate to tell you this, but I hope you already know it. For we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a doer of his will, him he heareth. Isaiah 59:1-2. Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and he has hid his face from you and will not hear you. You can't pray. Should you, if you quit, you can't take the, we're going, can't take the Lord's Supper. Revelation 2:10, you're going to miss the crown of life. I've known people that's worked 19 years in the school business. I used to be 30, and they quit. You used to have a law. I think it's changed some now. But if you worked 19 years in the school business and you quit, you didn't get any retirement. I never knew a person back when it was that way, didn't make at least 20. They got nothing for 19 years, sir. I'm so glad that I've got 45 years of school teaching experience. Now, some of us sick leave. And I've got a little income. And I'm glad of that. I hope I earned it. You've helped pay it. And so I hope, I'm glad I didn't quit. And I've got 55 years preaching the Word of God. And I know I can never earn salvation. And all I'm hoping to is the blood of Jesus will be given to me because I have done the best I can. I don't expect to earn it. Couldn't be earned no way. If you worked 1,000,000 years, you couldn't earn a crown of life and home in heaven. You couldn't begin. I go to the doctor and tell the doctor, says, you've got an incurable disease. You're going to die in 3 days. And the doctor says, if you'd give me $10 million in 3 days, I'll kill you. Well, he just shot you in the head. You ain't going to be able to do that. And when you go before God in judgment, all you've done is not going to save you. But if you haven't done the best you can, you're not going to go anywhere. And we ought to understand that. And so the Bible tells us about that. The Bible also says in 1 Timothy 4:12 that you missed being an example. How many years have you been in the Lord's church and kept your children in Bible class? It's a job to keep children coming in Bible class. You know what? You know when it gets the hardest? Right about the time when they're a teenager. I remember when I went in and announced to my mother. I said, Mama, they playing ball over in the field behind our house. I'm not going to church today. I'm going to stay here and play ball. She said, get in the car. That ended it. My mother and daddy had 12 kids. As far as I can remember, we never missed a service of the church we could have been at. Can you say that? And I owe them a great debt of credit for that particular example. The example you set oftentimes in your attendance would send your children to hell. And I'm not saying they're not reasons. I'm just telling you the truth about why we need to be interested in souls. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says you're bought with a price. What are the things that you own, things that you bought and paid for? My car out there belongs to me. Me and the finance company had it for 3 years. But you know what? After we got through that, that thing has ridden a whole lot better. It's going to flip 199,000 miles today. I hope it goes 199,000 more. I had made a car payment in 2 years because it belongs to me. That's about like waking up in the morning and have ice cream and cake for dessert because it's a great thing. And when you have it paid for, but God paid the blood of his son for my soul. Glorify God, 1 Corinthians 6:20, in your body and in your spirit. He also bought your spirit. You don't have a right to be mean. You don't have the right to be disobedient to your parents. You don't have the right to curse and swear and run around Did you pay attention to the Bible reading today? What does that say to you about going to the wrong kind of movies? Go back and read about that woman. Now they're movie stars. Now they're also high school girls. And oftentimes, many a man has followed the wrong crowd. Galatians 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, be not overcome with a fault that because you're falling into condemnation. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The only way you can put any treasure in heaven is give to the Lord and give to the Lord's church. Give to the works that he would have you do. Go and sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Listen to Jesus. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not for yourselves treasure on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. Why, Lord? Because where your treasure is, there is your heart also. If your treasure is in your clothes, ladies, that's your God. If it's in your power as some kind of athlete, that's your God. But if your power is in Christ or treasure in Christ, that's where you lay up your treasure. And then, of course, there are many other. There are consequences also, and this is very close to the other of quitting. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. I don't know what the tree of life looks like, but I want to be where it is, because that's eternal life. Revelation 3:16, there are consequences to quit. It makes our Lord vomit when he looks at us and we're lukewarm, half in, half out. Half attending, half studying, half in, half out. I didn't say that. That's what John said. Jesus told him to write it. Because you are lukewarm, the Greek, the way we translate it is spew. We don't ever say spew. When your child comes to a trash can, and you'll see this if you've got a young child, and it is a spew. But we say, Mama, he vomited. And that's exactly what that Greek word is. It makes the Lord sick. John 17:4, Jesus said that he'd put you out, that you weren't there. Matthew 26:26 through 30. If I remember that, I'd tell you, it might come back to you. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus. If Jesus thought of souls, he thought of souls, and he thought of souls. He went about seeking souls. Now that's what saves us. That doesn't mean that we're all going to be able to save a lot of souls. May not ever save any. But you can fill your mind with a person or two that you're going to try to save and work on it continually, and it'll get you to heaven. That's what gets you to heaven. You know what makes you a good mother? Realizing that your children depend upon you for life. And then realizing that your children depend upon you for spiritual life. The only hope most of you got children of ever getting them to heaven in this world is that you live a godly life before them. Nobody else is going to do it. No, they're not going to do it. And so you have an opportunity there to do that very thing. Matthew 6:33. Did Jesus put that in there for me to read? Seek ye first. What is the first thing in your life? If I knew you well enough, I could tell you. I can look at some of you and be pretty close to it. What's the first thing in your life? Well, it's got to be the Lord's church if we go to heaven, if we please God. Seek ye first the kingdom. And then, of course, Hebrews 1:1-3, God's now spoken us to his Son, and we'll be aware of that. I meant put Hebrews 2:1-3 instead of 1, but I missed that one. The Bible there tells us that we ought to be careful and not let things happen to our faith. We ought to guard it. Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What does Jesus mean by that? It don't matter what you say, it's what you do is important. Why call you me Lord, Lord? If Jesus said, go into all the world and teach the gospel of every creature, and I say, Lord, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Lord, and I never have tried in any way to influence anybody for good, I have lied. Jesus is not my Lord. And then again, we reread in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, bring up your children in the best sports possible, and they can make you a lot of money. Well, that might be all right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's not what that says. bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what Lord Christians do. I'm not against sports, but sports can't take you to heaven. I don't mind telling you that. And a baseball, football, any other ball, you can be the best in the world at it. And when you get there, you can jump up just high as you can and grab you a handful of air, and that's as close as you're ever going to get to heaven if you're depending on that to get you there. Just not going to do it. The Lord's church will get you there. 1 Corinthians 15:24. If you're a faithful member of the Lord's church, that's all you got to be to go to heaven. He's coming back to get the church. And if you're in it, you're going to go there. And so that's what that passage teaches. Matthew 21:28 says, go work today in my vineyard. And that's the Lord's church. And I'll have time to explain that further. And then, of course, the Bible tells us that what will happen to us, we will miss heaven if the Lord doesn't add us to the church. Why is it that one of the souls is wise? Why is that? So obvious if you think about it. Could you say that he makes a lot of money is wise? Wise in some ways, but not eternally wise. Could you say that he that goes through school and gets degrees, well, yeah, wise in some ways, he's got to learn something. But not eternally wise necessarily. Well, should you say somebody who has been able to become skilled in fields, the world needs a lot of skilled people now in all fields. And some people can sure do better things than others can. I watched a bunch of people working on the for just a few minutes yesterday, the lights after dark, them electric lights. And them men were up there hanging around them wire lines, and you'd see a fire every now and then. And they was up there. You think I knew how to get up there and handle them things? Not on your life. Not enough money in the world would have caused me to go up there because I wasn't skilled in it. Skills are a great thing. But even though those men can do all those things, that's not the greatest thing in the world. What is the greatest thing in the world? To save your soul. Now, if you can tell me what's the second greatest, I'll mention it. Not tonight, but the next time I get in the pulpit. What's the second greatest thing? I think we all might have an idea what it is. It might be a really good family. It might be, of course, to be healthy. It might be this or that. But we don't have a problem with first grade. If the Bible is true, there's just one great thing in this world. You can't quit the church because you can't get it or the way. And that's to go to heaven when you die. It don't matter how long you live if you go to heaven. It don't matter how sick you are if you go to heaven. It don't matter how poor you are if you go to heaven. It don't matter how few friends you got if you go to heaven. It just don't make no difference. Nothing in the world makes any difference if you go to heaven. Someone said, how can you say that? What if my friends don't get there? Well, Jesus is in heaven. He knows about everybody's in hell. And he's happy. And I'm going to be like the Lord. I'll never be able to figure that out. But the Lord will take care of that. The Lord will take care of it. I've buried 2 children. And that's made me want to go to heaven more than anything. And I prayed God for years to make me want to go to heaven, but I don't pray that prayer anymore. I'm afraid to pray it anymore. God may make you to want to go to heaven in ways you're not aware of. But if you're not wanting to go to heaven, you don't need to be in the Lord's church. We're not here to have fun and basketball. It's all right. We got one. That's good. We're not here to impress people. We're not here to build big buildings or have a great choir. We're here to save souls. That's it. That's not about it. That's it. We have but one goal. We may do many other things, but we're here to save souls. Jesus said, save yourselves from this wicked and untoward generation. If you'll obey the gospel, you can save yourself. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It'll work. Every time it'll work if you're faithful to it. Make no mistake about it. God cannot lie. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Save your soul. Make it a life work and start it right now while together we stand and while we sing.